Today on Real Radio.
Is it a religion that we've decided to embrace? No. It is an absolute change of life. The reason why we are called Christians, the reason why we declare that we are Christians, is because there's one passion in our lives.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the part of chapter 2 where the Messiah as an infant is presented in the temple. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called While We're Waiting.
Simeon was a man who was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. He was a man waiting for the Lord to deliver, to bring about his salvation, the salvation of the nation. And as we'll hear this morning in Simeon's Magnificat, that is his song, he also announces something quite radical to the Jewish mindset, and that is that God would not only save and bless the Jewish nation, but that the Gentiles would be saved as well. This is the message of Jesus, that the wall of division has been brought down. God does not have a division regarding compartments of heaven. You know, the Catholics are going to be in one spot, and the Methodists in the other spot, and Lutherans in one location and all this. God's not going to do that. He doesn't do that. And the fact of the matter is that how will the Muslim, how will the Hindu, how will the religionist ever come or ever get entrance into heaven? There's only one way. And Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you can be the best Muslim and miss heaven. You can be the best Hindu and miss heaven. Hey, you can be the best Baptist or the best Lutheran and miss heaven. Unless you're born again, Jesus said, we're not going to make it. And so that's the issue. You could just dissolve all the stuff that man has created and come down to this one thing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And that's the gospel. And we see the gospel as it's being given to us by Luke, and we just love the way that Luke is approaching it. He's Dr. Luke. He's a medical physician. He gives details that no other gospel gives, and it's very insightful. This morning, we'll just dive right in. We are in chapter 2 already, and we're picking up in verse 21, where we left off last time. Verse 21 to 35, Luke chapter 2. And Luke says, when on the eighth day, or 8 days had been completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of Hur, that is Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that is Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, blessed is this child, is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Verse 35, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that is Mary's soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As we consider this message entitled, While We're Waiting, I want you to keep this in mind, because you know what? You might think for a moment, well, that message, Jack, is so far removed from us. It's 2,000 years old. How does it apply to us? I'm going to argue this morning that it applies to you and I much more than we might think at first glance. That's why the title is Why We're Waiting. Have you ever noticed, or have you ever been to I'm a sucker for the Cheesecake Factory restaurant. You ever been there? Has anybody ever been to that restaurant? Okay, guys, I just gave you a great idea for a date. If you've never been, go to the Cheesecake Factory. Anyway, that's free. No charge. I just gave that to you. You can write it down. When you go there, they take your name. There's always a waiting list, you know. They'll get your name and they'll give you this little beeper deal. And it's too big to put in your pocket. You can't put it anywhere else. You got to hold it. And as you walk around, you know, you just mosey about and you do some window shopping or whatever you do. You're just kind of hanging out, waiting for this thing to go off. Because, you know, once this thing just triggers, it lights up and it vibrates, you know that what awaits you is a glorious, glorious event. And so as you're holding this thing and as you're waiting, you are looking at the things around you, but you're just not focused. And you never enter into anything else. You can't really go buy stuff because it could go off at any moment. So you just window shop. You keep a very light touch on the things of the mall because you're expecting this thing to go off. And the moment it goes off, you say, quick, let's go, come on, come on. And you make your way, and they escort you to sheer delight. Okay? While you're waiting, you've got this thing, and while you're waiting, you're anticipating. The Lord has us here in this world, and He has put the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers, and yet, as we live this life, we're keeping a very light touch on the world. We, as it were, are window shopping through this world, but we're waiting for not a buzzer to go off, but for a trumpet to be blown. And the moment that happens, we know that what awaits us is sheer delight. It's going to be great. Until we get to heaven, how should we be living? Simeon is going to teach us some things about that. Very important things. Number one, Bible student, jot it down. It's in verse 21. While we're waiting, we need to be remembering. While we're waiting, let's be remembering what Luke is teaching us about, and that is his name is Jesus. He said, Jack, I already know that. Well, wait a minute. Notice in your Bible with me, it's capital J-E-S-U-S, capital Jesus. What's interesting about that is that there's an announcement made regarding why we should be remembering day by day that it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Number one thing we realize, verse 21, why should we remember His name and that His name is Jesus? Is because Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the triune God of heaven, has given us this identity that because Christ has come, He has now identified Himself with us. We this morning call ourselves Christians. Why do we call ourselves Christians? Is it a club that we join? Honestly, let's be honest. Let's be quoted rightly. Is it a religion that we've decided to embrace? No. It is an absolute change of life. The reason why we are called Christians, the reason why we declare that we are Christians, is because there's one passion in our lives. And that passion is to follow Jesus Christ. That makes us a Christian. Not only that, how does that come about? That is the great change that takes place in our lives. And there are some wonderful things that we are given here this morning that we better understand as believers in these days. When the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. This is nothing new. Mary had been told by the angel his name would be Jesus. Joseph and Matthew's gospel tells us that his name would be Jesus. But what we need to understand is that when the 8th day of his life, Jesus' life, he's brought now to the place and to this act of circumcision. Circumcision introduced this Jewish child into the national identity of the Jewish people with Israel. Yes, but also, of course, before God. The child was circumcised, and the meaning of circumcision was a sign. And I want you to remember this in your mind. It will apply to us all more than we might think. The child, Jesus, was circumcised. Every male was to be circumcised on the 8th day in the Jewish nation. Why? Number one, it fulfilled the law of God that the Lord had given to Moses, that every male that is born shall be dedicated or presented unto the Lord via circumcision. But circumcision in the Bible announces to us that it is the cutting away of the dead skin, exposing the sensitive. It was a symbol. If a child is circumcised, what does that mean regarding his spirituality? Answer, nothing unless this child grows up to live a life of faith in God. Are you with me? Jesus was circumcised. Any Jewish boy would be circumcised. It is a pledge. It is a dedication. It is an announcement. The parents are giving this child to God. Church, listen. Can circumcision save a child? Answer is no. In a New Testament sense, remember when Jesus was baptized? Jesus told John the Baptist, suffer this to be so. And Jesus was baptized. Number one, circumcision speaks about the dead skin being cut away, speaking of life to come. Baptism speaks about death from sin, resurrection and newness of life. I have a question for you. Did Jesus of his heart have to be circumcised of his heart to be sensitive? No. Did Jesus have to be baptized for the remission of sins? No. Then why was Jesus circumcised? Why was Jesus baptized? Number one, circumcision to fulfill the law. Number two, baptized, not for the remission of sins, but to identify with us. Church, Jesus is circumcised. Jesus in the future, we shall see 30 years from now. Not 30 years from now. 30 years from our story, when Jesus is 30 years of age, he's going to enter into the waters of baptism. Why? Because he had sinned? No. But because he identifies with us. So make note, if you would, Jesus Christ comes as the baby into the world, 8 days old, and he is circumcised. And it's been said that Jesus, in keeping the law, though he's a young infant child, Matthew chapter 5, 17, Jesus said that he has come to fulfill all the law and the prophets. And so Jesus is circumcised, but not only that, the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is identifying himself with all of us, all of humanity, and the first thing, how appropriate is this? The first thing that Jesus is identified with us in is that he is circumcised, and that is a painful act. Jesus experiences the pain of what sin brings into the world and the significance of that. Here he is, just a little baby, 8 days old. God is so good, by the way. Did you know on the eighth day, a child has more vitamin K in his body at that moment than the seventh day, than the sixth day, than the third day? You say, well, so what? Vitamin K is what you need to coagulate the blood on the eighth day. Is God not smart? He calls his every young male that will come forth from the womb, he dedicates them to be circumcised on the eighth day, not the ninth day, not the seventh day. And we know that on that day, vitamin K, the coagulating vitamin there in the hemoglobin of the blood is at its strongest. God is so good. But listen to this. Remember that his name is Jesus because of this most important thing. He's not only come to identify himself with us, but his very name and the meaning. He's come to deliver us. And not only the Jewish nation, as we shall see, but all people. His name is called Jesus, the name given him by the angel, as it says here, before he was conceived in the womb. And the beautiful thing about this is that this is the Jesus that you and I identify with. Yes, but church, listen. This is the name Jesus that was very common during the time of Christ. It was a very common name, even up until the point of Israel having just crossed over out of Egypt into the promised land. From that time on, children were often called what we say in Greek, in our English today, Jesus. Based upon what? Based upon a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua, Moses' assistant. When in the book of Numbers, Joshua comes back from his spy clandestine operation that Moses sent him and 11 others on. When Joshua came back, it was Moses who changed Joshua's name to Joshua. It was Yahushua, and then he changes it to Joshua, or Yahshua. Now we say Joshua with the J in English. In the Hebrew, now in the Greek, Jesus. The very same meaning is this, that Jehovah or Yahweh is our salvation, or Yahweh, Jehovah, saves. Jesus, his name is God is our salvation. That's the very meaning of his name. Isn't it interesting that when people cuss and they use his name in vain, they are actually saying, God is our salvation. Isn't that weird? Hey, when you go to work tomorrow at that construction site or at that office or wherever you're at, next time somebody says, you know, Jesus Christ about this or that, go Go up there, slap them on the back and say, thanks for reminding me to pray more. You just got done giving glory to God. What did I say? You said that God is our salvation. By the way, you need saving. You know? Jesus, God is our salvation, our Savior. So He has come to deliver us. It's in His very name. And there's a man who knows this. His name's Simeon, among others. But the name is all important. And by the way, that very name, church, hang on to your seats. That very name, Jesus, clearly implies that God becoming our salvation, that means, and it's very clear to the Jewish mind, God is our salvation, that God becomes our righteousness. In fact, in the Bible, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, listen carefully, jot it down in your margin if you would, next to verse 21. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is the name which he will be called by, Jehovah or Yehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness. This is the awesome thing about Christianity, and I hope you can handle this. This is theologically accurate. When God looks at any man or woman who calls upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when God the Father looks upon that person, God sees that person covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to keep that in your mind. Imagine me for a moment, picked up and dipped in a vat of blood and then brought back out and standing right here. I would be completely covered in blood. You say, that's gross. It should be gross to you. Because blood speaks of sacrifice, doesn't it? Blood speaks of a life having been spent that I might have life. But let me make my point. I'm now dipped in blood. I'm covered in red. And God looks at me, and what he sees is the righteous work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He doesn't see my sin. He sees only Christ. How is it that God the Father only sees Christ? Because, listen, Jesus died on the cross and he presents his blood on the altar in heaven, says the book of Hebrews, and forever in one awesome sacrifice presents his blood forever. The power of forgiveness has been made available forever. One sacrifice, powerful forever. Now watch. God looks and sees red. God looks and sees Christ. Jesus, the very name means he has become my righteousness. Church, I'm going to ask you a question. Get ready to raise your hand. Don't lie, don't fib, and don't cheat. Watch me. This is very serious. God's watching. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. You can put your hands down. I see your hands, but before you ever raised your hands, God sees you covered in the blood of Christ. Positionally, you have been forgiven. Positionally, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why you and I need to get up from this place today and go live the Christian life with joy and peace and excitement and anticipation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can do that, would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't wait to give you that promise. He doesn't see how you perform to give you that promise. The moment you put your faith in Christ, that promise is issued to you. And God, listen, as it were, dips you in the blood of Christ and now sees you the righteousness of Christ. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this or not. Apparently last service it was news to somebody. But if you have a very sensitive document, you have information on there. If you don't want it copied, if you don't want it duplicated, do you know what color of paper you put it on? You put it on red. Because you can't copy red. It doesn't work right. Now, I love this. Watch this. If I'm dipped in the blood of Christ positionally based upon the Word of God, Satan would come along according to the book of Revelation, and he accuses, what does it say in the Bible? He accuses the brethren, us, day and night, right? In the book of Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, He took the handwriting of ordinances that were against us and he nailed them to his cross, removing them, it says, taking them out of the way. Well, what's interesting about this is if today Satan is reminding God the Father of my failure and my sin, when God the Father turns to look at me, he sees nothing but red. When he looks to see at the accusations of Satan against my life and your life, the accusations don't appear because God only sees red. What is the red signifying? The blood of Christ. I am saved based upon God's work. I'm set free based upon the work of Christ. God has saved me because of what Jesus has done. When God the Father looks at Christ, I'm set free if I'm trusting Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news, especially for some of you who might be trying to earn your way to heaven. God says, no way. You can't earn it. You can't add anything to it. That's very important. The Bible says concerning this great truth, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, that is God the Father, made Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Church, did you get that? Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that? That Jesus Christ, his righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it means that God the Father took my sin, placed it upon Christ, took Christ's righteousness, placed it upon me when Jesus died for me. Man, that's good news. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like that. I don't care how you feel. That's true. That is the gospel truth. Yeah, but I'm really aware of my sin. So am I. But God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. That's good news. That's an amazing thing. So the question is, when God looks at you today, those of you who couldn't raise your hands, what is it that he's seeing? Oh, he's seeing everything, believe me. All of it. You want to make sure that you're covered in Christ. Second point this morning, verses 22 to 24, is that we recognize him. We not only remember, but we recognize that we belong to him. Number one, we recognize that he's our creator. And this is very, very simple. I don't need to belabor this. In verse 22, it says, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was completed, that is 40 days, Mary had to wait, make an offering. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Simply this, what's with the presentation? After Mary was ritualistically purified according to the laws of Moses, they come to the temple and he's going to be presented, dedicated unto the Lord. Now remember, he was circumcised on the eighth day. So now these are some days later. So they bring Jesus to the temple. And why are they coming? To present him. Simply this. The word to present means to gift back or to dedicate back. It presupposes a great fact that the child that is being presented or given back is given back because the child was first given.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called While We're Waiting, a study taken from Luke chapter 2. It's part of our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this study or to get in touch with us for any reason, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click where it says Send Us a Message and just drop us a quick line letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.